So we left off in the middle, I think, in the middle of the topic of Dina de Malchusa, Dina. So we pointed out from the Sefer Tshuvas Dvar Avraham that there are different issues of Dina de Malchusa, Dina. There are some cases where everyone agrees, and some cases where there's a machlokes. One case where everybody agrees is, how do you that's the Shach and Hilchas Ridus, that's in Yeridea. How do you determine what's Kesef and what's Shoveh Kesef? There are three halachas, but Shoveh Kesef is not Ki Kesef. One is Pidyon Ma'aseh She'ni, that's Gemara's in the beginning of Perek HaZoav, he came Mishnayos like that. Pidyon Ma'aseh She'ni has to be made dafke on Kesef, not on Shoveh Kesef. That's a pasuk, that's a din d'oraisa. Then the second din is Machtas HaShekel. Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas that in his Chibur on Yerushalmi, which was lost, which was never published, he explained that this is also a din d'oraisa. Then the third din that requires dafke kesef, not shoveh kesef, Rashi this Gemara with the three cases where you don't say shoveh kesef, kesef, it's a b'raisa and b'chor is daf nun aleph. So Rashi writes, the third din is clearly only midirabonim. When you come to be oil regal to Yerushalayim, HaPesach Shavuos Sukkos, and you purchase the oil sriya, in the Shalmei Chagiga, you have to purchase it dafke with kesef, not with shoveh kesef, and it's a whole... Shalom gives a whole reason why they made such a din derabbanim. How do you determine what's kesef and what's shoveh kesef? Kesef is silver. A bar of silver is kesef. No, a bar of silver is shoveh kesef. Kesef means cash. Cash means legal tender. That the government of that country declares that it's legal tender. Everybody agrees that. That's a function of din de machusa. And if you don't recognize the loonies, the Naturi Karta, who don't recognize the Israeli government, so they're consistent and they don't use Israeli coins for Pidyon Ma'aseh She'ni. They hold that the Israeli government is a bunch of pirates. Every other government in the world is wonderful except for the Israeli government. The Russian government is kesef. Russian government are not pirates, not gazlanim. Ukrainian government is not. The Nazi government is... Every government in the world is a... legitimate, except for the Israeli government. That's a bunch of pirates. Lunatics, we should learn. Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Yashiv, all the Talmid HaChacham that we look up to, they all use Israeli coins for Pidyon Ma'aseh She'ni. What kind of stupidity is that? So how do they do Pidyon Ma'aseh She'ni? So they use shillings, because the Chazon Ish writes in his Sefer that you have to be Pidyon Ma'aseh She'ni on shillings. Chazon Ish published the Sefer before HaKomis HaMedina. That's why he wrote you have to use shillings, because the government at that time was the British government. So that's one din of Machusa Dina. The government determines what's legal tender. A legal tender is considered kesef. That's a big, there's a steer in the tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer. The paper money is also, is legal tender. That's not a shaila. It's legal tender. It says so. I think it's printed on the paper bills. It says legal tender. But it's a steer in the tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer, where the paper money is also considered kesef, and you have the ability to be paid in Ma'aseh She'ni on paper money. So the minhag always was that not, because of that Chasam Sofer. But what's wrong with paper money? Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan has a tshuva where he says that paper money is also kesef. Why did the Chasam Sofer hold that paper money should not be? When you get to some dinim, yeah, when you get to some dinim, not. Why Benegat at Pidyon Ma'aseh She'ni? Why not? So that is, I think the later Achrayim say, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Oinig Yontif has a tshuva about this. The Oinig Yontif is after Rabbi Yitzchok Hanan. So the Oinig Yontif has a tshuva, I think in Italy. In some countries, a $100 bill, the piece of paper is bigger than a $50 bill, which in turn is bigger than a $20 bill, which is larger than a $10 bill, which is larger than a $5 bill, which is larger than a $1 bill. In America, they're all the same size. So the Chasam Sofer meant to say, if they're all the same size, and the difference in, and there's no difference in value between the paper of the $1 bill, the paper of a $1,000 bill, no difference in the value of the piece of paper, the Torah's paper, so then it's only... Then it's called shtar. Then it's called shoveh kesef. It's not called. It's only called kesef like the corner, the quarter, the silver dollar is bigger than a quarter. The silver dollar is bigger than a half a dollar, I think, which is bigger than a silver dollar, which is bigger than a quarter. Each one is bigger than the other one. They're different sizes. The nickel is bigger than a penny, but I think the nickel, the nickel is, of course, is bigger than a penny. The nickel is bigger than a dime, even though a dime is worth 10 cents and a nickel is only worth 5 cents. But I think the metal in the dime could be, it's more valuable than the metal in the nickel. So if each coin is larger than, each coin which represents more pennies. Moshe Feinstein explains that cash, his Mana Gemara, didn't have the whole value, intrinsic value. It had representative value also, like today. Like today, it has representative value. It's not that that's how much the metal Shabbat is worth. That's part of this story, and it has representative value as well. The whole value is not intrinsic in the value. So that's what Ernie Gyontov explains, that if some sefer was not happy with paper money, with the paper money of the $100 bill, is the value of the paper itself is not worth more than the value of the $1 bill. So there he thought that's considered shtar. That's not considered kesef. That's a debate. Okay, paper money is a debate. So what's another aspect of dina machlus dina? So he said the government has the right and the obligation to institute a legal system. You have to have a whole legal system. Odom amazik is chayv and halva is chayv. You have to pay. You have to pay money if you buy merchandise. All the chukim and mishpatim. So the chukim and mishpatim that the goyish government has, you go to law school to study all the laws. That's only if at least one of the parties involved is a nochri. If both parties involved are Jewish, then you don't follow din in the malchusa. Paying taxes, that's a different story. That's the third din of din in the malchusa. That's the third din. But ben adam lahavero, if the both parties involved are Jewish, and they don't apply din in the malchusa din. What if there's a court case between a Jew and a goy? Let's say years ago, the goyim used to respect the batidinim, so sometimes there would come two goyim, John and Jack, would have a machlokes between each other. They would go to a bezin, to a Jewish bezin. Sometimes in America and Canada also, they see that the rabbanim who run the batidinim have a bezin tzedek. It's an honest bezin, and you don't have to wait 10 months to have a hearing on the case, and you don't have a jury of morons who don't know anything. You have intelligent people who know law. They know a Jewish system of law. So if it has a good reputation, the Nochrim will come to the Jewish best. So the Gemara says, what if there's a case between a Jew and a Nochri? So the Gemara says, what if there's a case between a Yisrael and an Akum? So the Rambam says, Akum over there means Ovid Kochovim. If there's a dintara between a Yisrael and a Akum, Ovid Kochavim, and Mazalas, and they come to the Jewish Bezin, so the Bezin should, if they can, they should always be out to be mapsed the Ovid Kochavim, his money. So if according to Jewish law, he loses, so they should say, we're going to pass on according to Jewish law. If according to Goyish law, he loses, they should pass on according to Goyish law. So the Rambam found that, so come on, the end of Baba Kama. So the Rambam found that Gemara very strange. Why are we out to punish the Nochrim? So he says, because the Nochrim is an Ovid Kochavim. That's not a correction that the censor changed it. They didn't say Nochrim and they changed it to Akum. There it goes, Akum. But if, let's say he's a Nochrim who's not an Ovid Kochavim in Mazolus, then you're not out to get him. So then the din is, whenever there's a court case, a din ter between a Yisrael and a Nochri, since one of them is a Nochri, so din in the Malchus applies. If the Nochri is an Ovid Avodah Zarah, then we're out to penalize him, because he shouldn't be an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So then we give him whichever is the best interest of the Yisrael, we want to penalize the Ovid Kachavim and Mazons. But whenever the both parties involved are Jewish, then you don't apply din in the Malchus Adina. So in Shulchan Aruch they give two exceptions to the rule. One exception is from the Mordechai, one exception is from the Shach. So Mordechai quotes the name of the Balei HaTosfos. What if there's a Jew who deals in business, he has a store or he has a business, whatever, and he deals with Jews and with non-Jews. And whenever he deals with non-Jews, his head is screwed on in such a way that he calculates and makes all the cheshbonos based on Din and the Machusa, because since one of the parties involved is the Nochri, that's the customer, so the Din and Machusa applies in such cases. Since every time the Jewish shopkeeper, the owner of the business, is going to have to find out whether the customer is Jewish or not Jewish. Most of the customers are probably Nochrim. So since when he's dealing with the Nochri, he follows the Din Machusa, so it's an Din, and that probably when he deals with the Jews, he also has money. He can't screw his head on differently. Every 2 minutes, he's going to think differently. Oh, this person is Jewish, therefore he has to calculate, make all the cheshbonos according to Din HaTorah. And if the other party involved is an Nochri, he has to make all the cheshbonos according to Din Machusa. Sometimes he won't know who the person is, and even if he does know, it's hard to keep on switching back and forth. So that's what the Mordechai quotes in the name of the Balei HaTosfos. If a Jew deals in business with Jews and non-Jews alike, since when he deals with the non-Jews, he has in mind, according to the Din Machusa, so even when he's dealing with Jews, since that's the minig is that they always make all the agreements, all the contracts, in accordance with Din Machusa, so even though they didn't stipulate it, and the Mishnah is a lot of times says, Hakol Kaminig Hamdina. So why is Hakol Kaminig Hamdina? Because whatever is Minig Hamdina is considered Kilu Hisna, as if they had made it tonight. And Kol Tanai Shem Imamin is Kayim. That's a Machlegs Hamei Rav Yudah. Whether Masna Masha Kosma Torah Tanai Batal, whether it only applies in Issa the Heth or even applies in Din Imamin. So we pass like Rav Yudah. Hamei Rav Yudah Lachik Rav Yudah. We pass like Rav Yudah. That Kol Tanai Shem Imamin Kayim. What's an example? Kol Tanai Shem Imamin. So the Rambam gives an example. Stam halbo shloshim yom. If I lend money to another Jew and it didn't stipulate how long he has the right to hold the money, for 5 years, for 10 years, for 2 hours, for one day, I didn't stipulate. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. It's a din. It's not a umdin. It's a din. Stam halbo shloshim yom. What happens if he says, I'm lending you the money, I want you to pay back the money within a week? Kol Tanai Shem Imamin Kayim, even though Al-Pidin, he has the right to hold it for a month, I have no right to bother him before the month is up, but if I made it tonight, I'm lending you the money on the understanding that you have to pay back within a week. So Kol Tanai Shem Imamin Kayim. So the same over here. Let's say two Jews enter into an agreement. If the other Jew crashes into my car, that's not his chayvus midas. Not that he agreed to pay me. That's a din. So then it's not shach to make any tanai over there. But if somebody works for me and you have a contract, even if there's no written contract, but it's understood, there's an agreement, or I'm selling merchandise, selling or buying, whatever, that's you have to have a contractual agreement, so you have a right to make a tanai. So call tanai shem imam and kaim. So if I would have said that this contract is on the understanding that even though both parties are Jewish, we want to follow the Din Machusa, if we would have said that, so that would have been binding, so even though we didn't say it, since that is the Minigam Dina, so that's Kilu Hisnu. The Mishnah has, we must have said it over 100 times, the Mishnah has in Baba Metzia Din, that if a person is a laborer, it says in Borchi Nafshi, the person is a laborer, so he's supposed to work on the job from Alos al Shachar till Seis al Kacham. So let's say I have a fellow works for me a whole week, and I agreed to pay him $2,000 a week, $3,000 a week. Comes the end of the week, he worked. He's understood he's a Shabbos shop, so he leaves early on Friday. He's not going to say he doesn't have to work on Shabbos. Comes the end of the week, he wants the $3,000. I say, what do you mean? But you didn't put in a whole full day's work. I say, what do you mean I didn't put in? It was there 9 to 5. So the Balabas says, no, it's the Pasuk in Baruch Nafshi. He's supposed to work from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis Kam. So I never heard of it. Everybody works from 9 to 5. So the Mishnah says, the Yerushalmi says, on that Mishnah in Bav Metzia, that Minigoyka Halacha. What do you mean Minigoyka Halacha? So some misunderstanding the Yerushalmi to say that even though there's a din, but if the minig is that we don't observe that din, so that's okay. That's not true. If there's a minig that's against the din, it's a minig shtus, a minig tos. You're not allowed to observe it. What do you mean minig oikar alocha? So the Yerushalmi explains minig oikar alocha. The alocha says, hamotzi machavera all of her ayah. When everything is unclear, the burden of proof is on the teveya, not on the nitva is muksak. So the fellow worked the whole week and he wants to get paid. And I say, but in Pasuk and Baruch Hanavsh, it says he's supposed to work from Alos al Shach until Tzeis Chacham. He only worked from 9 to 5. He said he never heard of that Pasuk and Baruch Hanavsh. He works from 9 to 5 like everybody else. And Yerushalmi says, Minig is oike halocha. If that's a minig, hamdina is considered kilu hisnu. And if they would have made it tonight that I'm going to give you the $3,000, even if you don't work from Alois al Shachat al Seis Gaham, even if you only work from 9 to 5, call Tanai Shabbat Mamakayim, you can make such a Tanai. So even though they never made such a Tanai, but whatever is the minig is considered kilu hisnu. That's the Yerushalmi, minig oika halacha, whatever is the minig is considered kilu hisnu. So the Mordechai, that Mordechai is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Mordechai quotes the Baalei HaTos, one who deals in business with Jews and non-Jews, since when he deals with the non-Jews, he has in mind, all the cheshbonos are based on the assumption that they're going to follow the din of the Machusa. Even when he deals with Jews, he probably also has in mind. That's the umdah. He also has in mind to follow the din of the Machusa. That's the Shulchan Aruch quote. The Ramah quotes that from the Mordechai. Then the Shach has another case. That's an exception to the rule that even though all the parties involved are Jewish, we apply din and machusa. So he says, when is that? If the halacha has nothing to say about the case. So many people say, oh, that's about a person declares bankruptcy. There is no halacha about declaring bankruptcy. So since, or something like that. So since in Goyish law, there are laws about declaring bankruptcy, so that's why it's binding. Because the halacha has nothing to say. So the Chazon Ish says that that's ridiculous. He disagrees with the Shach. What do you mean the halacha has nothing to say? There's no such case in the whole wide world that the halacha has nothing to say. If there's no such halacha, bankruptcy, so the halacha says that the guy is still chayiv. There is no bankruptcy. We said the reason why the laws of bankruptcy are binding, even if all the parties involved are Jewish, is because of what Rabbi Henkin said. Because whenever the government makes a takana, a tikkun amdina, they have rent control, and they have maximum prices you can charge on necessities, and you have minimum wages and those kind of things. In bankruptcy, if they give the keller, to give the person another chance, all he has to do is make one mistake, so he's ruined for the rest of his life. All the money he'll ever earn, he always has to pay over to everybody else. They made a takana, the tikkun amdina, to give people another chance. And whatever, that's why bankruptcy laws apply, even though all the parties involved are Jewish. Not because whenever the halach has nothing to say, then you apply the din of machus. Chazon Ish says it's not correct. But I mentioned, I think I did mention, a couple of years ago, when the Daf Yomi was learning Chulin, so there was some professor from Yale who was doing work on genetic engineering. I forgot his name. He's the one who has the patent on the Kindle and another 500 inventions that he made. So he said his first love was law. He went to law school. And he realized that you can draw up a contract that avoids, has no law, there's no laws on the book how to regulate that contract. If you know law well, you can draw up a contract that's not governed by the legal system. And when he became more observant, when he was a Jewish person, but became more observant, And he got very much into Daf Yomi, he came to the realization that there ain't no such thing in halacha, that the halacha has nothing to say. The Mishnais and Yivamas are every cockeyed case in the world. Four brothers married to four sisters and twins and their twins and that. Every crazy case, so complicated. He said, there's no case in the world that's not covered by the Mishnah. When he came to the yeshiva, the Daf Yomi on the previous day was about human beings who grow from the ground. And the Rambam says that the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, it shouldn't make fun of the Mishnayos because the thing really exists. Because in the Greek books on science, they say it exists. So this professor said it doesn't exist yet. He's working on it now. It may exist. But the rabbis worked out all the dinim for the things that don't even exist yet. They have dinim. There's no such thing as a case that's not covered by law. Every case is covered. So when we told him that Chazanish, he was very excited. That's and we showed him the Taisus. The Taisus says about there's a Machlekes Rashi and Taisus in a few places. The beginning of Ksubis, everybody knows it from the beginning of Ksubis. What does it mean? Stimus Hagolo, the Shiva. When someone dies and is buried, so the observance of Shiva begins after Stimus Hagolo. What does Stimus Hagolo mean? So Rashi learns the girl of the Defi, the girl is the lid on the coffin. And Taisus says that that can't be because there's a Sugyan Erevin on Daf Tezvav. The girl has Tuma. The girl is Matami like a mace. So the Gemara says there's a Machlokes HaTanaim. What if you use a live animal for a girl? Does it have Tumas girl the Daifik or not? So Tais says, according to Rashi, that the girl is the lid on the coffin. Which Meshugan is going to bury up someone and put the lid on the coffin? A live animal is going to bury the animal alive. So that shows that Rashi's pshat is incorrect. So that's how Taisus proves that Goylal doesn't mean the lid on the coffin. The Goylal means the matseva. So you don't make a matseva from a live animal. So Taisus says, once in a while, they used to put the matseva the same day. They buried the person, and right after they buried him, they filled up the grave, they put the matseva. What if you don't have the matseva ready? So you don't want to forget who's buried here. You may be burying two people on the same day. You're not going to remember whether Reuben is buried over here or Shimon is buried over here. You may not remember who's who. You got to put the matzeva in the wrong place. So they bang a peg of wood in the ground where the grave is, and they put a live animal on that location so they'll remember, oh, where the live animal is tied up. So that's the matzeva temporarily. So Tai says, according to Rabbi Natam, that the girl of the Doifik means the matzeva and the stones that hold up the matzeva. So then the Gemara does make sense. And Erevin Daf Tezvav, how can you use a live animal to serve as a girl? But according to Rashi, the girl means the lid on the coffin. Does make sense. And then Taisus says, it doesn't really disprove Rashi 100%, because that's the style of the Gemara. They talk about cases that will never come up in a million years. They're going to cover every single bit in the world. Every case is going to be covered. So Taisus shows that it's so, because the Gemara talks about a female animal is pregnant, and you took the fetus from that rechem and you put it into a different cow, and the other cow gave birth. What's the din? Does it have din on b'chor behemoth? Tais says it's never going to come up in a million years. The Gemara talks about the din. Now it comes up all the time. They do artificial insemination by behemoths, and they take out an embryo, an uber from one cow, and they put it into the rechem of the other cow. So it's covered by the Gemara. That's why it's kedai. When you learn Gemara, you have to study every single case in the Gemara. A lot of the cases that we skim over, we think it's never going to come up. It comes up. Everything comes up now. So again, I remember one of the Rabbonim in New York was giving a Shabbos Hagodol Drosha. So he's talking about Mechiras Chametz. He was talking about the Kinyonim that you make with the Nochim. So he was talking about Din and the Machusa. So he said, the main exception to the rule is, that whenever the halacha has nothing to say, then we follow Din and Machusa. That's what the Shach said. He wasn't aware that the Chazanish made fun of that Shach. Chazanish thought the Shach was wrong, that there is no such thing. Every single case is covered by the halacha. The Chazanish holds the only exception to the rule is what the Mishnah says. Akol k'minik amdina. Whatever the minik amdina is, that itself on this minik is, whatever. So then we assume it's kilu hisnu, and whenever they make such a tanai, then it's binding. So if two Jews enter into a contractual agreement that they're making a shutfus, whatever, they're going to follow dina machusa, so be it. So then it's binding menatara to follow dina machusa. Because kol tanai shem mamad kayim. Let's read this Gemara again. Here, let's go back again. Nun dalan on the basement, the third line from the top. Am Rab Yudah Mishmur. Rab Yudah was an Amora. Sometimes he quotes in the name of Rab, sometimes he quotes in the name of Shmuel, and once in a while he says his own din, without quoting from his Rabbein, Rab Shmuel. So what does he say here? Am Rab Yudah Mishmur. Nichse avikacham harehen ki midbar. Kalamachnam zochabhem. My time, a whole explanation. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye was upset. How can it be? Amalei Abaye, the Rabbi Yosef. How can you say that? Miyama Shmuel Homi. Hachi, is that true that that's what Shmuel said? But that's not fair. The second fellow is a ganav. He's a, Rashi says, he's a, what is it Gemara calls it? Oni Hamahapech Bacharora. What's Oni Hamahapech Bacharora? So, let's say, for example, on Friday morning, everybody wants to buy challahs in the bakery. Their wife should bake their own challahs. But many people are lazy, so they buy challahs in the bakery. So I go into the store, and I see there's a long line, and there aren't going to be any challahs left by the time it's going to be my turn. So I say, I'm the rabbi, so I come and I say, I'm in a rush, and a rush. I have to buy challahs. I know, I'm being mafsid. Everybody else on the line wants to buy the challahs. And if they run out of challahs here, this is not the only bakery. The other bakery has challahs. So that's a din of Oni HaMahapech Becharor. Since the other one is about to make the kinyan, he's online. And they always do first come, first serve. And they're going to use up all the challahs, so that's not fair. I'm not allowed to come in. Oni HaMahapech Becharor, you're not allowed to cut the line. And if you did, you're Nikar Rosha. If you bought the last challah, now the other people who came before you have to go to a different store to buy it, you're Nikar Rosha. Yeah. That's... Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Chelek Choshen Mishpat about a few tshuvas, about Oni HaMahapech Bacharora. And he quotes from the Gemara in Kiddushin that not only is it a din l'chatchila, it's a din even b'di'evid. And he says, it's a din even b'di'evid, and even... we had a shaila once. Someone was going to. Let's see. What's the case? I think Mara has the Oni HaMahapech Becharor Ba'achanatola Nikra Rosha. So the Gemara has a case that someone was going to sell. Someone was holding by selling his karka to Reuven. And then, even b'shegig, and even b'di'evid, and Shimon didn't realize that they were holding by clinching a deal. So one day Reuven came and he made all the arrangements he's about to buy, but he didn't have his checkbook. So he said, "I'll come back tomorrow and I'll give you the check for the amount." Then the next day, before Reuven had a chance to come back with the checkbook and buy it, so Shimon comes. He didn't know that Reuven had already negotiated yesterday. It was b'shegig. And he makes an agreement and he buys the sada. So Nikra Rosha is even a din b'di'evid if he already did it, and even though it's b'shegeg, you still say Nikra Rosha, and even b'shegeg you have to give it back to the first one. How do you know? Because the Gemara tells such a story that Rav, I think I think it was Rav had a yeshiva, and he bought a piece of property that we're going to use, a park or something that the Talmidim were going to use. And then afterwards he found out that someone else had already negotiated a deal. The other person was going to buy. So even though Rab did it, b'shegeg, and it's ready, lach ha'mai, so Rab already paid for it. So the Gemara says they never used that playground. Even though the yeshiva paid for it, they never used the playground because Nikra Russia, they didn't want to be b'shegeg. So nobody used it. Nobody used it. The one who wanted to buy it originally didn't want to use it because Rab bought it for the yeshiva. And Rab didn't want to use it because Nikra Rosha. So it sat empty for a long, long time. So Rav Moshe understood, so one could have interpreted the Gemara, that was a midas chasidus on the part of the yeshiva, that they never used that playground for the Talmidim. But Rav Moshe understood that it's a real din, it's not a midas chasidus, that even b'di'evid and even b'shegeg, there's a den of Oni HaMahapech Becharor. So what does the Gemara have over here? The Gemara says, Nichsei Akam Erein Kim Midbar. Midbar is Hefker. Kala Machim Em Zocha Ben Mai Taima Av Kam Yichim Motu Zuzil Yodis Talik Lei So Lo Kona De Motu Shtor Li Yodik Why Kos Mokan Shekais Von Yis Ashtar So Hilka Charem Kim Midbar. So the Nochri, whenever the Nochri has Das Makna, included within Das Makna always is Das Havkara. You have to first be motzi from the Rishus of the Marukama, then you machzik it, into machnes it into the mishus of the marabasra. So the nochri doesn't care if the Yisrael is going to lose money. As long as he got the amount of money that he wanted for the field, he's mafka the field, it doesn't belong to him. And then a bo'acher, b'hechzik bo'azocha bo. If another person comes, that's by nichzak, marein ke'efke, bo'acher b'zocha bo, so the other person is kind of. So Rashi and Tosef both say, but he's not doing the right thing. He's only ha'mapech b'achara, b'ach ha'natola, nikra rosha. So Abaye asked the kasha of Rav Yosei, how can it be that that's what Shmuel said? But Shmuel, we know Shmuel is famous for his din, dina machusadina, and Malka Omer, and the government said, so usually dina machusadina only applies when both parties involved are Jewish. Usually dina machusa only applies when at least one of the parties involved is a non-Jew. Either both non-Jews or at least one is a non-Jew. Here, both parties are Jewish. The original owner was a Nachri. And then he sold the karka, the mo'os, he sold the big kesef, he sold it to the Jew, the Rishon. But in Mokhm Shekhaz, when it's Hashtar. So the Lekech Rishon had in mind not to be kind until he gets a Shtar. But the Nachri included within the Das Makna was a Das Havkara. So the Nachri was Mafkarit. So Boacher, Behechzik Bo, and another Jew ran in and he made a Kinyu Hazoka. So the second one is kind of, so Abaye is the kasha, but there's a din in Machusa. What's a din? Malcolm, the king said, if it's not fair, it's not fair. La likri ara ela b'igarto. Likri ela b'igarto means, push-up shot, like Rashi says, you only kind of the karka if it's fair. If the owner gave you a shtar, if he didn't give you a shtar, you're not kind of the karka. The goyim interpreted b'igarta means if you pay the sales tax. If you don't pay the sales tax, then you're cheating the government. The government has a right to charge sales tax. The government says whoever sells karka and the lokech doesn't pay sales tax, the kinyan doesn't take effect. In Europe, they used to have such regulations. In Poland, where the Jews lived, they used to have said if you don't pay sales tax, the kinyan is not chal. So how come the Gemara, in Halacha there's no such din, so how come the Gemara asks over here, Dina the Machus Adina, this is a case between two Jews. The first Lekech Rishon, and the second one, Abu Acher, the Echzik Bo, Kol HaMachzik Bo Zocha Bo. It's not a din Torah between the Jew and the Goy, it's a din Torah between the first Jew, the Lekech, who paid all the money, and the second one who never paid any money, but he made a Kinyu Chazaka. So the Pashtus, the answer is that this is a din in the Machusa that's Letikar Amdina. It shouldn't be so that you're only kind of, if you write Igarta, either means that if you pay sales tax or it means if you write a shtar. But the government made a takana, Letikar Amdina. Rashi and Tosfos also said, he's Nikar Rosha, he's doing something improper. But even though he did improper, he's the second guy is kind of. So that's what Abai asks Rabbi Yosei, but why not say Dina the Machus Adina? So don't you see from the Gemara, Dina the Machus Adina applies even if both parties involved in the Din Torah are Jewish, provided that it's a takana, Letikan Abdina. This was a takana, Letikan Abdina, that people should be fair in business. If you do something unfair, so you're not kaina, even though legally it should be kaina. If you do unfair, you're not kaina. The Gemara seems to say, like Rav Henkin said, this Gemara. But the question is, Moshe Paskin and the Igris Moshe Chel Kosha Mishpat, that only Hamapech Bacharora even applies B'Shogeg and even applies B'Dieved. So here, the second guy wasn't Meshogeg. He did an Avla Gedoyla. He is an Ani Mahapach Bachara Bachar Natola Nikra Rosha. So why shouldn't we say that it's in Bidi Evid? The second one shouldn't be allowed to keep it. Doesn't it sound like that din, in Bidi Evid, you can't keep it? That's only Midas Chasidus. That's not Mikra Adin. Midas Chassidus, then you can't be koifa Midas Chassidus. The guy doesn't want it, the guy wants to keep it. That's the question of Rav Moshe's Psak. he paskan deriv medieved, you have to give it to the first one, to the one who was mahapech b'acharon. Yeah, there's another issue that the Chazon Ish talks about. He has a long piece about Dina Machusa in the Chelek HaShemishpot in the Chazon Ish, that in the first perek in Gittin, there's a Mishnah, Kol HaShtaros HaOlam HaKvosh HaNochrim are valid, Chutz Mikitei Noshim Shechuri Avodim. Because Gittin Noshim Shechuri Avodim have to be written Lushma, and the Nochrim can't create Lushma. Only a Jew can write Lushma. Al-Fidin. So it sounds like Shtori Mechira, if a Jew is selling a karka to another Jew, and the Shtoris were prepared by the Goyim, by the Goyishan government, all Goyim, so it sounds like the Kinyan is Chal, the simple reading of the Mishnah, Kinyan is Chal. So the question is why? But the Goyim Allah b'nei mevet shtar nina. The Goyim apostle edus. How can they write a shtar? How can it be that the Goyim signed on the shtar? The Gemara has two answers. So one answer is dina machus adina. Even though the both parties involved are Jewish, dina machus adina. How can it be? That's the question. And the other answer in the Gemara was that when it says chutz migita nashim shachri avarim, it doesn't only mean those two. Chutz mikigite noshim, all shtori kinyan, don't accomplish that thing. For shtaraya, it's good. It's shtar so'ilim v'arkoyes shonochim, the arkoyes, the government is not going to lie. An individual nochri, we apply the pasuk kasha pim di b'shavim min shoker, chod erem dvar mitelim. That's how the or zaruah has such a tshuva. There is a machlekes. Well, the Nachri Misich Lefitumai, the Mishnah says that if a woman is married and the husband is missing, you don't know whether he's alive or dead. Missing for a long time, you don't know if he's alive or dead. So a Nachri comes and he says, Misich Lefitumai. He tells that there was a shootout and this man got killed. He doesn't realize that if the husband is dead, then the wife has the ability to remarry. That's called Misich Lefitumai. He doesn't realize what the consequences are. He doesn't realize that by saying that he's going to be mata the woman, but he not say lashuk. So then the Gemara says Nachum Misich Lefitum is good, but that's only midirabbanim. And Atayre, there is no such thing. That's mishum meguna kila berabbanim. So what about Anisa the Heter? Would you rely on Nachum Misich Lefitumai? The Sama Shanim say Andiram Daraisa, you don't. You can't be mekel based on Nachum Misich Lefitumai, and Andiram Darabbanan you can. And this is one of the questions that the Or Zeruah sent to the Tosfos Rid. Tosfos Rid lived in Italy. The Or Zeruah lived in Vienna. So he sent them a long letter, I think 24 questions, and he intended to follow the psak that he's going to send him. So one of the questions was about the minig by the Ashkenazim. The Tosfos Rid was a Sfardi, he lived in Italy. So the Ashkenazim, the Balei HaTosfos, had a minig that a woman who went to mikveh, there's an institution in Parsha Shemini we just read on Shabbos, there's a din of Harif Shemesh. If a person is tummy and he goes to mikveh, so until he goes to mikveh at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so until Harif Shemesh he's not fully tohar. Tovah biyola, when a tummy goes to the mikveh and he goes out of the mikveh, he dries himself off, he's tohar, he's permitted to eat maisosheni, but he's not permitted to eat truma. Even if he's a kohen, he's not permitted to eat truma because you need harav shemesh. A tvil yom is permitted to eat maisosheni, even though a tummy is not allowed to eat maisosheni. Lo biyartem mena b'tomei, he's saying, David, I didn't consume the maisosheni in a state of truma. But a tvil yom is not considered tumah for purposes of eating ma'aser sheni. But for purposes of eating truma, the tvil yom is considered tamei, and not. But what about the a mechusa kippurim? That's a person. There are born mechusa kippara. That's the beginning. That's the name of the second parak increases. Arba mechusa kapor. Mechusa kapor means a person who was tevil in a mikveh and he already had harav shemesh, but the Torah says his tumah requires a carbon. to complete the Tahara procedure. So Kol Zman he didn't bring the Korban, that's called, he's one of the four Mechusar Kapar. Who are the four Mechusar Kapar? Who are the four Tameim who have to bring a Korban? So Zab Zav, Yoled is a Mitzorah. That's the Mishnah. Zab Zav, Yoled is a Mitzorah are the four. So Mechusar Kippurim is permitted to eat Maaseh She'ini, even until Yom is permitted to eat Maaseh She'ini before Harav Shemesh. Permitted to eat Truma. Truma, all you need is Harav Shemesh. But he's not permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash. He's not permitted enter the Azara. Enter the Ezus Nashem until Yom is allowed to go. But he's not permitted to enter the Azara. He's not permitted to eat Karbonis. Mechusar Kippurim is not permitted to eat Karbonis. I forgot already. What was I trying to bring out? I lost. I'm half asleep. The Ozer Ruah has a chumrah of the Bali Atosis that when a woman goes to mikveh, it's based on a Rashi in the end of the first Perek of Masechta Shabbos. If a woman goes to mikveh, so she doesn't need Harav Shemesh. There's no din that she needs Harav Shemesh. She needs Harav Shemesh if she wants to eat truma. But if she... she wants to be with her husband, she doesn't need Harav Shemesh. So there's a chumrah if she'll take a shower with Mayim She'uvim. So it's mashma from Rashi in the end of the first Perek of Masechus Shabbos that will undo the tefila midirabon. On the level of the Aris, there is no such thing. You can't undo a tefila. You're toivel on the mikvah, so you're toh, you're mut the materis labailam. So Rashi sounds like he says, if the woman will be bor rosh ruba ma'am shuvim, and she'll take a shower. So I'm showing him that two versions, only a shower or a bath, ma'am shuvim, whatever. So if the woman will take a shower or a bath before, if she waits till after Harav Shemesh, then she can take all the showers and all the baths she wants. That'll be mitame her midirabonim. But mitame midirabonim doesn't asa labailam. But if she takes a shower and a bath the same day that she went to the mikveh, so not only does it metame her mikana labo, it undoes the tefillah midirabonim. Because they were afraid that people would think, lo eilem etarim, because the shower is clean water. And the mikveh that she was tevel in, 100 other women went to that mikveh. They didn't have mikvahs like we have, that you can change the water in the mikveh every day. So the mikveh water a lot of times was very smelly, very dirty. And after the women would be tevel in the mikveh, then they would take a shower to wash off the dirty water. So people were thinking, how can it be? The mikveh is matar, but the mikveh is dirty water. It must be that the clean water, the shower, is matar. So then some of the people went one step further and say, what do you need the mikveh for? All you need is the shower. The shower is no good. That's mayim shuvim. That's the question. If you take a shower, that's not even called tevel. That's a zechlin. That's a no good minatura for sure. But let's say you're tevel in a mikvah, ma'im shuvim. So that's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Machlekes. The Ri and the Rabbein and Tam and Tosis and Baba Basra and Baba Kama and a few different mesichtas later in Baba Basra. Where the ma'im shuvim is a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbon. If you're pouring ma'im shuvim on, then there's no tefil of a mikvah. That's zechlin. That for sure is no good minatura. But if you're tevel in a mikvah, where all the water was contained in a kli, Maim Shuvim contained in a bucket. So that's a big machlekes, whether that's the Raisa or the Rabbonim. Mechaber Paskan, that Maim Shuvim, Gimelugim, Maim Shuvim. Gimelugim, Maim Shuvim, for sure is only with the Rabbonim. But let's say the whole mikveh is Shov, Rubo Shov, or Kulo Shov. So that's the big machlekes of Rishonim. Whether Kulo Shov or Rubo Shov, is that a Psul, the Raisa, the Rabbonim? So here there's the Ozer Ruah had this shaila that he asked of the Tosis Rid. How did he know the Tosis Rid existed? I don't know. They had no newspapers. How did they had a businessman who traveled from Vienna to Italy, maybe, and they carried letters back and forth. I don't know how it happened. So the Ozer Ruah sent that letter with a whole bunch of shailas unrelated. And then the Tosavit responded. So the one about the mikveh, he makes fun of, the Tosavit says that that's a chumrah. We assume the chumrah, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, It's only a chumer. It's only mikra din. It's really lahakil. But the whole thing is a chumer. So the Tosis Rit thought that you should disregard the chumer. It doesn't make any sense at all. But, and then, even though the Orzarua sent the shilas to the Tosis Rit because he wanted to hear his opinion was going to be kofef to his psak, but he says he realizes now he shouldn't have sent that shilah. He can't reverse the psak. He can't reverse the din because it's so ingrained by the Ashkenazic Jews that they don't take a shower right after the same day before Arab Shemesh. That it's a minig and you can't be mevatlin. So he has another tshuva, that long list of tshuva. Another tshuva. Can you rely on a norchem istich lefi tumay on dinim derabbanan isa v'heta? Can you rely on a norchem istich lefi tumay? What's an example? So the Gemara has a din in Masechah Shabbos and Perek Ablezer de Milo. The Gemara says you should never shech the behema within the first 7 days after it was born. It's a sofik nefel. You have to wait till Yom HaShmini, just like Pidyon HaBen shouldn't be done till Yom Lamed Aleph. So the reason why you wait till Yom Lamed Aleph is because you want that the vlad shouldn't be a sofik nefel. If a baby dies within the first 30 days after it was born, so the usually one doesn't observe Shiva because you assume it was an Eiffel, so it was never considered alive in the first place. Yeah, so where do you get this idea from? That Kol Shalosha Shalashim Ayam Ba'odam is an Eiffel. You get it? That's why Pigyon HaBen is on the Yom Lamaral, should be Yotz Mechlal Sofing Eiffel. But the only time the baby will be an Eiffel is if it's any odum kololach hadashim, you don't know whether it was a full-term pregnancy or it was early. What if you know that it was a full-term pregnancy? It was a full 9 months, and we pasken full-term means the beginning of the 9th month, beginning entering into the beginning of the 9th month. That's called kololach hadashim. That's considered a full-term pregnancy. So then, even if the baby dies within 30 days, it's not a sofik nefel, and you still don't do pidyon HaBen. The baby's not alive on the Yom Lamaral, you don't do Pidyon HaBen. So it does not show that that the halacha that you have to only do Pidyon HaBen if the baby is alive on the Yom Lamaral is not connected at all to whether it's an Eiffel or not. It's an unrelated topic. Not that you have to wait to do the Pidyon HaBen till the 31st day, that the vlad should be out to Mechlal Sofik. So where did they come up with this idea that if the baby dies within 30 days, al sofik nefel, they got it from Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is HaGzeiros HaKos V'Chok. You have to wait till Yom Lamed Aleph. Even it's Vada Yadu Shekol Alech Hadoshov. So it's, we assume it's only a din with the Rabbanan. That's a long Magen Mishnah beginning, Hilchos Yibam V'Chalitza, the first page in the Rambam. He says that the baby, Kol Shlosho Shloshim Yom Ba'odam, is a sofik nefel, is only a din with the Rabbanan. It's only a din with the Rabbanan. So the same over here, many hold that this is also a din med rabbanan, that you're not allowed to. The pasuk says, "Shora kesav eski yivoli v'hoshiv asyam tachasim am yamishmini v'holi yirotza l'korban isha l'Hashem." You're not allowed to be makar of a korban within the first 7 days after it was born. And if you're magdish a korban, you're loike. And if you're makar of the korban, you're loike. It's an isa, because it's a sofik nefi. You have to wait till the yamishmini v'holi yirotza l'korban isha l'Hashem. So is that a chok benegir to korbanos, or is there a logic over here? The koshel shlosh, just like by human beings, koshel shlosh shloshim yom, but adam is a sofik nefel. So by behem is koshel shlosh shmoina yomim is a sofik nefel. So that's what the Gemara has such a din. But the pashtus is it's perhaps only midirabbanon, because that din that you have to, you can't be makriv as a korban until the 8th day, that applies even if it's Yadusha Kolalech Hadoshim. We're not going to declare, if it's Yadusha Kolalech Hadoshim, you're not going to say that the Vlad all along was a Sofik Nefel because he didn't survive. Just like the Shloshim Yom Ba'odam is only the Rabbanan, so too many Rishonim hold that the Shmona Yomim by Behemah is also only the Rabbanan. Rambam perhaps holds that it's a din deraisa, because the Rambam says that if you shech the Behemah within the first 8 days and you eat it, ain't a loike. So if it's only a din deraisa, of course you're never loike. Even if it's a vada yisi, you're not loike. from the Rambam Salvation said from the Rambam what appears if it's a din deraisa. But in Shulchan Aruch they sort of assume that it's only a din derabban. So that's a big discussion, and that's siman in Hilcha Shechita, the end of Hilcha Shechita. What if a nochri is selling a behemoth, and one of the nochrim says he knows for a fact when it was born, the birthday of the animal is this, and it's already after the eighth day, so he can shecht it today. So if the one who's selling it sells me that, so maybe he's selling me a bill of goods. Hashbiach bikchahu, I know. He wants to tell me what a big deal, what a gavaldiga deal he gave me, that he sold me the behemoth, chotzi chinam, and it's already royal shechita today, because it's already shosh, if he knows. But the shad is, what if the nochri, a nochri is not neman? Erecha neman isurim, you can't rely on a nochri because ain't a betoiras. He doesn't have to observe the laws of kashrus. Only one who has neman is on kashrus is one who himself is careful on kashrus. That is a very honest person, but he's not observant. He doesn't observe the laws of kashrus. He doesn't have neman is on kashrus. Or let's say the mikveh lady, she keeps kosher, but she doesn't observe taras hamishpacha. Not that she's 65 years old and she no longer has a period. She's a younger woman and she doesn't observe Taras HaMishpacha, but she's very reliable. So the din is, she doesn't have the manas to say that the mikvah is kosher. That's a mishnah in Bechor, is daf lamed. Achoshel ala doba ladona v'lamidah. So Nachri doesn't have the manas on Erecha dem and Bisurim because he doesn't observe kashas and he doesn't observe Taras HaMishpacha. But the shayla is, what if the Nachri says his edus misich lefi tumay? By Eidus Isha, they were Mekel. By Aguna, they were Mekel. So maybe by Yisav Heter, if it's Eidechad, if it's where Eidechad Nem Bisurim, by Aguna Isha, they really require two Eidim. So we're Mekel, Mishum Megana Kili, by Abana, Eidechad is good. And then we're even Mekel, women have Nemanis. By Aguna, and even a Nochri, if it's Mesilcha Fitum, has Nemanis. So that's a special gula, kula mishum migon akili berabbanan, because on a level of the rashi, it should not have been so. Should have said, you need two kosher eidim, anything less than that should not be accepted. But the shahad is, what if the nochri tells us misich lefi tumay? Would he be believed to say, that this behemoth is already 8 days old, and you can shecht it right now. So if he's selling me the animal, he's the one who's telling me that it's such a gevaldige metziah. So that's, the Gemara says, maybe it's lahashbiach mikchoi, maybe he wants me to believe falsely that the behemoth that he's selling me is worth every penny that I'm giving him, because it's already, you're able to shecht it today. You don't have to wait another 7 days to shecht it. So the merchant himself, the nochri merchant who's selling it to me, tells me it's already 8 days old, you don't believe him. What if someone else tells me, Mesich lefi tumay? Would you say he's them? So that's a big machlokes. So if it would have been a din deraisa, you have to wait 8 days, so Erecha nem isum and not apply to the nochri. On the assumption that it's only a din derabban, that you have to wait till the eighth day. Just like waiting till the 31st day for Pinyin Aben. Pinyin Aben is a real din deraisa, but in order to observe Avelus, you have to wait till the 31st day. That's only a din mederabbanan. That's the first Magen Mishnah, Hilchos Chalitz. And see here also, the din that you can't be makir of the korban until the eighth day, that's a real din min haTorah. But that this should be taken to reflect that a behemah is yotzei mechlal sofek nefil only if it survives already to the eighth day, that many hold that that's only mederabbanan. So then many hold that nochri misich lefitumay should be neman on all dinim derabbanan. It's based on a Gemara at the end of Bava Kama. That nochri misich lefitum is neman on dinim derabbanan. So the Arzarua sent this shaila to the Tosis Rid. Can you trust the nochri misich lefitumay? If he tells me when the behemoth was born, and it comes out that it's already royal shechita today. So the Tosis Rid sends him back a letter where he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, talking about the nochrim. Asha piham diva shavi minam imin shoker. The nochrim, he can't trust on anything. And then he adds, b'chol dvarav dvarim b'teilim. So in the context of the letter, it means that whenever a Nachri says something, he can't rely on them. I used to have, when I was a student in the college here, we had a professor who didn't know how to learn too well. He thought it was God's gift to the world. He didn't know Jewish history either. He didn't know Torah. And he used to publish a lot on Torah and Jewish history. He didn't know either. He was very schwach. He had a 4 o'clock class and a 5 o'clock class. And when he would say who won the war, or when the war ended, it would change between the 4 o'clock class and the 5 o'clock class. Instead of looking at his notes, he would say everything about Peh. So he was talking about Muhammad al-Hashmanoim. Everything would change. Anyway, so this is one of his foolish mistakes. He thought that the Tosfos Rid was making fun of the Urza Rua. He says, "V'chol dvar dvar b'telem." He thought he was talking about the Urza Rua, that he insulted. He's talking about the Nochri. He's quoting a pasuk in Tehillim. It means when the guy says something, it's Dvar B'Telem. It doesn't mean whatever the Tosfos Rid said is, whatever the Urza Rua said is Dvar B'Telem. Yeah, that was this professor. Oh, he's now in the Olam Haemes. Yeah, he's finding out all the mistakes that he made. I bring this up, I already forgot. I apologize, I'm half asleep today. I just got back.
Marangidim.
What?
Marangidim. Marangidim.
Yeah, oh. So Nachri doesn't have them on us. But if the government, the Goyish government, let's say there was a war, and the husband is missing in action, and the government says, your husband was killed, and we buried him in a cemetery in Normandy. Shine. So all the poskim say, we assume that the government, our Koesh al Nachrim, they're not going to give a statement on official stationery unless they investigated it. So you have a right to assume that they have them on us. So if you, so the Gemara says there in Gittin, Kol Ashtar Soilim Ba'Koyesh Al Nochrim, if the Arkoyes wrote a document, Ashtar Raya, that somebody borrowed money, so we would rely on it. If it's Ashtar Raya, we would rely. Even though Nochrim don't have their monies on anything, but the Arkoyes is Mukhzuk, is Becheskos, that they ascertained it, they're not going to sign something that's not true, unless they know for sure that it's true, on official document, on official stationery. Yeah, but the Gemara says if you're using it as a shtar kinyas, how can that be good? So those are the two opinions in the Gemara. When it says kol hashtar ha'olam ha'kosh ha'nochrim are acceptable chutz migita noshim shechuri avodim. So it sounds like a shtar kinyan on karga would be good. Only Gita Noshim Shechuri Avodim is no good because you need Lushma. But Shtori Mammon don't need Lushma, and then it would be good, even though it's signed by Nochrim. They're not kosher leiders. So the Gemara has a machlokes hamaray. What opinion is when it says Chutz Migita Noshim, it means Chutz Mikigita Noshim. Anything that's a Shtar Kinyan is not going to work. If the both parties are Jewish, one Jew is selling karka to another Jew, and the document was drawn up by the Akosh Alakum, so that won't be a good shtar. It's only the shtaris that are written by the Akosh Alakim are only good, but Torah shtar rayat. Because we have an umdana that they're not going to be, the government is not going to be mishakim. The other opinion in Gemara is not dinah de machus dinah, that even though the issue is between two Jews, Reuven and Shimon, they're both Jewish, and usually you don't apply dinah de machus and dinah b'nal machaveroi, if both of all the parties involved are Jewish. Over here you do say Dina Machus Adina. So how can it be? But that's the klal. You don't apply Dina Machus Adina whenever both parties are Jewish. So that's what the Chazanish has a discussion about. So he quotes the Aliyas the Rabbeinu Yoina. There's a say from Baba Basra, Aliyas the Rabbeinu. Why is it called the Aliyas the Attics? The Aliyah usually means the attic. It has nothing to do with an attic. The Rabbeinu Yoina's style in this very fascinating style of a Chibur, he writes on every sugya. Then he says, "Oyle, the upshot of the sugya is the following: the final maskana la halacha is like this. Oile mitoch hasugya. So every time he always says what's oile mitoch hasugya. So that's why it's called Aliyas the Rabbeinu. It's written by the Rabbeinu Yoina. So the Aliyas the Rabbeinu Yoina on Baba Basra and his daf discusses that Gemara in the first perek in Gittin. So the Chazon Ish explains it. He elaborates upon it. So he says like this. Let's say Reuben and Shimon have a dispute. So instead of going to both Jewish, instead of going to a Bezdin, they went to a Goyish court. So that's mistake number one. They're not allowed to go. Eila mishpatim shatosim lifneim, lifneim lo lifnei arkoy. So you're not allowed to go to a Goyish court. They didn't follow. They're both wise guys. They're both not to observe. They went to the Goyish court. Goyish court gave a psak. So the psak should be not, you should ignore it. So the Chazon Ish says, no, that's Dina the Machus and Dina. If they already went, even though they went Shalek Yedin, if they went to Goy Shekot, then the Goy Shekot said, based on their legal system, they said, Reuben Oshim and $5,000. So just like there's a Din Hefke, Bezen Hefke, so there's a Din, the Goy Shekot government, also, Dina the Machus and Dina, the Goy Shekot government has the right to be Mavke Mammon also. And since they have a legal system, you went to them, you submitted the case to them, and they gave a psak. So since they gave a psak, so now, even though Pidin is not always gehalten, but Reuben has to pay Shimon the $5,000. Now the Chazon Ish says, you look in Choshem Ishbot, so sometimes the Bezdin will penalize Shimon for taking Reuben to court. Here the case that I gave, they're both shkotzim. They both wanted to go to Goyish court. So why should they penalize Shimon? Because he won the money. They both did Shaloi Kedin. They're both prepared to go. But let's say Shimon is the one who pressured Reuven to go to Goyish court. Reuven didn't want to go. He said, I want to go to a Din Torah. And Shimon forced him to go to Goyish court. So since Shimon did Shaloi Kedin and he won the case in the Goyish court, then the Jewish court should really penalize Shimon and they should be mafke the mammon that he won Shaloi Kedin. But what if they both did Shaloi Kedin? They both did Shaloi Kedin. They didn't care what the halacha says, that you're not allowed to go to Goyish court. They went. And the Goyish court awarded Reuven $5,000, so then that's Dina the Machus Adina. If they already submitted the case and they based on Shalakwas, Shal Nochem, gave up Saks as binding. So what's the Machlekes Amaroim in the first Perik in Gittin, where the story Chutz Miki Gittin Hashem and Ishtar Kinyan, Hoyle Barkos is not acceptable? Or he's saying, oh, only Gittin Hashem Shechur Abadim because it's Isa Veheti, you need Lishma. But if it would have been Shtori Mammon, then it would have been good. Shtori Kinyan, it would have been good. So what's that machloike? So the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Chazon Ish explains the Kavanah of the Rabbeinu Yonah. I think Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not a Chiddush. He just, he spells it out. He says, the machloike Samaroyim there in Gittin, in the end of the first parak is, they didn't submit a case to Arkoes. It's Shtori Sa'olam Barkoes. It's a shtar. A shtar, they have, it's a subdivision. The different offices in the government building, the different offices, they take care of different things. So they just asked them to write a shtar kinyan. They didn't go to a court and the court that gepaskent on the case. There's a courthouse where they have a judge and a jury sometimes. And the judge paskens on cases, and this is a secretary. When you want to get married, so you go to the justice of the peace, and they'll marry you off. And if you want to sell karka, go to the other office, and they'll make a shtar kinyan for you. But it's all under the auspices of the arkoes. So that's the machloikas amaroyim. If you would have really gone to the arkoes, to the bezin, to the judge, and the judge would have paskened that the karka belongs to Shimon and doesn't belong to Reuven, because there was a sichsuch about it. So that's Din and Mochus Adin, like Hefke Bezna Hefke. So the psak is binding. Even though Pidin, Reuven doesn't know a penny, according to Jewish law, but since the judge will get paskin that he has to give $5,000 to Shimon, so that's binding. Unless Bezna will decide to penalize him. But if they both did wrong, why should they penalize him? So they may leave it the way it is. But over here we're talking not that they didn't bring it up in the court. In the same courthouse, there's one office where they marry you off if you want justice. There's another office where they take care of shtori mechira. They'll take care of mechiras. Since it's under the auspices of the court, So it's considered ke'ilu, the judge from the government-sponsored courthouse endorsed the mechira, so therefore the mechira is chal. Or should I say no? The judge didn't say. The government has to have the government has a legal system, and sometimes they paskin cases, and sometimes they write shtaris for you. So it's chut to kigit einoshim. Any shtar kinyan would not help. Shtari rai, we assume the arkos are going to be careful. They're not going to sign anything in the arkos if it's an official document from the official government office. They're not going to sign a document unless they ascertain that it's so. That's the machlokes there, but it's not a machlokes about the hofandina and machlokes adina. Because it's talking about a case where both parties involved are Jewish, so we don't apply din in the machusa. But if they would have gone to a psak, then they would have said din in the machusa. Machlekes Amoraim is, do you consider this as if they went for a psak because the court sponsors that office? Or do you say no? The judge didn't pass gun on the case, just sponsored by the office. They say the kinyan is not valid. That's the machlekes. So the Gemara has that we learned last week, this strange din. The Nichseyakam Harem ke Midbar. Midbar means that it's Hefker. Shor HaMidbar. There's a Mishnah in Bava Kamma. There's a Machlech Shabir and the Rabbanon. Shor HaMidbar. If it's Shor, that's Hefker. Kills an Adam, do you give the Shor a skilo or not? Is it a punishment to the Bala Shor? So if it's a Shor HaMidbar, so it's not a punishment to the shor, and there is no bala shor. So the shor doesn't get skilo, and you say, no, shor midbar, shor it's also chayv misa, it's a punishment to the shor. The shor has enough, even though the behemoth is a la bardas, but every animal has the Ramban HaChumash writes, every animal has enough seichel to understand not to kill a human being, because Noach was the one who saved all the animals at the time of the Mabul, and all the animals should have a sense of HaKoras HaTayif for mankind, because they saved them from the Mabul. So that's how we paskin, that even Shor HaMidbar is also a Chayev Skila, but the Rabbi Yudah was the Tana who disagreed. We hold Shor HaMidbar Shehizik is not Chayev. Of course you're not Chayev. Who's going to pay? What is there to discuss? The Gemara asks, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? The Shor shall have, because Shehizik is not Chayev pay. Who's going to have to pay? The Gemara says, no, it means like this, Shor Hefker Shehizik, and then somebody ran, a Jew, let's say, ran, and he grabbed the shor shel hefker, and he was kainet. He took it into his backyard, and he locked the gate, and he's kainet the shor with chotzer, with the kinyan chotzer, made a kinyan mashicha, whatever. So should you say that the moment the shor was mazik, nishtabdu hanachosim, there's a shib nachosim on the shor, so if anybody's going to be kainet that shor later on, the nizik has a right to collect from the shor. Because nishtabdu hanachosim, what nachosim? The goof of the shor. The goof of the shor is nishtabde. So kamash mulan the psukim, no. Ki igof shori shishori yehu. Only if it's a shor that belongs to somebody. If it's a shor shal hefker, so there's no chiv at all. Not that nishtabdu hanachosim from the very outset. It's not nishtabdu hanachosim. It didn't have an owner. So when it gets to shor hefker shehizik, we paskin a not chayv. It's not nishtab nechayv. Shor hefker shaharga so adam, we paskin against Rabbi Yudah that the shor does get skeel. Okay, so then the Gemara, I think we got up to the first wide line. Omar nun hey med alef. Omar rabba hani plas mili. The following three dinim, Ishtoili, he spoke to me. It was told to me by the Reish Galusa in the name of Shmuel. What are the three dinim? Dina Machusa Dina. Okay. Usually Gemara quotes Shmuel Dina Machusa Dina begat to paying taxes. It's a question how much of Dina Machusa is included here. Okay, we paskin all of the above. So that's the first din. Dina Machusa Dina, okay. minting coins, that is called kesev, it's not shavu kesev, and they institute a system of binal machavera, is fine, and to pay taxes, all the dinim included, dinim achusa dinim, fine. What's the second din? Arisusa de parsoi ad mem shnin, what is that? So the Rashbam explains that there's an institution of cheskabatim, that's the whole pair of cheskabatim, sholoshonim, so that only applies if the one who is machzik in the karka for 3 years is a Yisrael. If he's a nochri, the nochrim in the days of Gemara b'chashurim ala gezel, so even though he was living in the field for 3 years and the Murakama wasn't moicher, it doesn't prove that it's his. Maybe he was afraid to be moicher, maybe the nochrim would, he was afraid he's going to beat him up. So the nochri has a cheskabatim 3 years, that doesn't mean anything. But if the Nochri has a cheska sabbatim, arisuta barsoi memshnin, if he's living in the karka for 40 years, so then it is a cheska sabbat. Okay, fine. And what's the third din? Vahani zaharuri, the zaharuri are what? The government representatives, the zovin ara, le taska. Taska is the tax that you're supposed to pay. We had the word on the previous daf, on the base. That the people and that Dura Derusa, that village where all the shepherds lived, so they were wise guys. They were evading taxes. And the government and Gezokt, whoever doesn't pay tax, has no right to the pears that grow on his karka. And if anybody else grabs the karka and commits themselves to pay the taxes, they're kind of the karka. So the Gemara said that's part of Dina the Machusa. If the owner of the field is not paying tax and anyone else grabs the field from him, and he commits himself to pay the tax, and he pays, then can ye? So the karka belongs to him. So that's a similar din over here. Hani zaharuri, the zobanara, letasko, someone is not paying his taxes. Sometimes there's real estate tax, and then there's head tax. So taska is real estate tax, and kraga is head tax. So if the government officials auction off to the highest bidder somebody's farm or his house because he's not paying tax, and they sell it to the highest bidder who pledges that he will pay tax. So the din is, we know he's been, and the mechira is valid, because that's the din of machusa, that's what the government of Gezokt, and they have a right to pass a law like that, that whoever doesn't pay tax has no right to own the karka, and if anyone else buys the karka from the government officials, the karka legitimately belongs to them. So what if he doesn't pay? What if the tax that he's not paying is not real estate tax? What if it's head tax? So the Gemara says a distinction. That's only if he's not paying the real estate tax. But if it's head tax, every person has to pay whether he's wealthy or poor. Real estate tax, you pay a certain percentage of the value of the real estate to the government every year for taxes. And Eretz Yisrael is also such a law that if a person buys real estate in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't move to Eretz Yisrael, just buys real estate, and he lives in Chutz Laaretz, then he has to pay a very high, tremendous real estate tax. If he moves there, then the tax and the real estate taxes are much low. So in the days of the Gemara, they had such a law also. Whoever doesn't pay real estate taxes, his karka, the government officials have the right to auction it off to the highest bidder. And whoever bought it and commits not to pay taxes, he can keep the karka. So Gemara distinguishes that what? Vahanimila, this only have a right to sell, the government representatives only have a right to sell it letasko. If the fellow's not paying the real estate tax, avala kraga not paying a head tax, loy, why my timer? Because kraga akarkif de gavre monach. Karkif means the skull, the head. That's a head tax. Every person has to pay head tax. So that has nothing to do with the real estate. So you have no right to declare. The government has a right to auction off his karka to the highest bidder because it's not paying tax. They have the right to auction off to the highest bidder if you're not paying the real estate tax on that karka. But if you're not paying head tax, then they have no right to auction it off. That's what we paskin. And Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. He thinks, I feel a sari dekado, even saorim, even barley, chitim asorim, and wheat and barley, even sari dekado, barley in a container, in a cup, mishtabdi dekraga. Kraga is tax. So the government has a right to levy taxes. That's Shmuel's Mermedina Machosadina. The government has a right to declare that there's a Shiba Nechosim on my karka. And the government even has a right to declare that there's a Shiba Nechosim on my metaltalin. Sari Dekada, usually there's no Shiba Nechosim on metaltalin. There's only Shiba Nechosim on karka. That's a question. I think we spoke a little bit about it. The Rambam writes, "Ena metaltalim tachas shibur hamalvid v'atorah." The Rambam, that one line in the Rambam, we see he holds two chidushim. Number one, that shibur nechosim shibur deraisa, the machlokes in the end of Bava Basra, and in chidushim after Gimel, where the shibur deraisa shibur lab deraisa machlokes on shibur nechosim, not on shibur aguf. So the machlokes on shibur nechosim are the deraisa the rabbanon. That's a discussion on karka. The karka of the loive is meshubit to the malve. Is that a din deraisa, din derabbanan? But the metaltalim of the loive, certainly there's no shim lechosim on metaltalim. That's the Rambam. Ein ha metaltalim tachashibur ha malve dval teira. Because metaltalim is yochel havrichem v'yochel halimem. And you're not going to be secure that you're going to collect just because the guy has metaltalim. Unless he gave over a mashken to the tachasyar ha malve. If the loive gave a mashken to the malve, then the malve has it under his control. He has it in hand. That's bachov kona mashken. Then the malve has a stronger shiba nechosim is a kinyan lachatzoin. Then the malve has a stronger shiba nechosim on the metaltalim, unless he gives a diamond watch or a diamond ring or something that's worth a fortune. So then there's even a stronger shiba nechosim on metaltalim than there is on karkos. What means stronger? What means l'mayin afkamina? L'mayin afkamina that the shiba nechosim on a mashkin, that's a metaltalim tachas yad hamalve, is stronger than all the shiba nechosim on the karkos of the loiva. Because the karkos of the loiva is using them now. In between the halvor and the giving of the shtar halvor and the collection, so the loiva is using the karka. So there is a shiba nechosim on karka. But there's even a stronger shiman chasim on the betaltalim if the loiva gave it to the malva as a mashken tachas yada because he's more secure of collecting. Where do you see it's stronger? Bachov kona mashken means stronger. So that's what the Nesiba says. There's a simen chashmish, but about bachov kona mashken. So he says the Gemara in Psochem Daflam and has machlekes abai verove, whether balchov lemafrei ugoiv machov balchov mikar lahabu hu goiv. When the Balchayv takes away the karka from the loive or from the lakeach, is he kind of the karka mikanal habo, is he kind of lamafreya? So we pass Balchayv mikanal habo goiva, it's not goiva lamafreya. However, that's what the Nesiva said, Rashi points out in the Sugiyam Sacham. However, if the loive gave a mashken of metaltalim, a diamond ring or something, they gave a mashken of metaltalim to the malva, and the malva has a tachas yodai, then it's a lemafreya who gave it. It's a stronger shim nechosim ma'metal. Usually there's no shim nechosim ma'metaltlim, because metaltlim is nechosim shein lamachrayis. It doesn't make the malva more secure of collecting. Metaltlim yochel havrichem yochel lahalime. But it's the metaltlim atachas yad ha'malva. So he's not going to hide it. He's going to hold on to it. So then not only is there a shim nechosim on metaltalim, it's even stronger than the shim nechosim on the karka. So that's what the Nesiva says. In what ways is it stronger? So he says, number one, the Gemara Psochem Daf Lamed says, b'chov l'mafrei hu goyve by mashken, b'chov kona mashken. Then he has number two, there are several more dinim where we assume that the mashken is considered the physical embodiment of the chov. It's considered as if, let's say, somebody owes me money and I want to sell a chov to someone else. If the person who borrowed $5,000 from me gives me his diamond ring or he gives me a watch as a mashken, so then Rashi and Kedushin says, the Nesivis quotes it, Rashi and Kedushin says, I can transfer ownership of the halvoi by giving over the mashkin to the other person, because the mashkin is considered the physical embodiment of the choiv. So you can make a hagbo on the choyv. I can make a hagbo on choyv. Choyv is an abstract thing. It's not a real thing. You can't touch it. It's a dovah shein bo mamish. But if you have a balchov kona mashkin, the loy that gave mashkin to the mamet, that makes it as if the choyv is a physical, tangible object. And just like I can give you the ring to be kind of the ownership of the ring, so when the loyve gives this ring or a diamond watch or something to the malva, is considered as if the malva is holding on to the chayv. Then when the malva wants to sell the chayv to someone else, he can give the mashkin and say, but you're picking up the mashkin, and should be considered, this is the physical embodiment of the chayv, it should be considered as if you made a kinyan hakbo on the chayv. How can you make a kinyan hakbo on the chayv? Because the mashkin is a physical embodiment of the chayv. That's famous from Rav Baruch Ber. In the mashkin lik the chayv, Rav Baruch Ber gave the shir in Yiddish. So one of the Talmid Chachamim who was killed by the Nazis, a young Talmid Chacham, was called Yonah Karpilov. And he had a brother who was not in Europe. He had a brother in America, I think, or in Canada, I'm not sure. So he used to correspond with his brother. He sent the Torah to the brother. So then, when he was killed by the Nazis, so the brother put out a thin little sefer. They have it in all yeshivas. Yoina Selim. The Yoina, that's a pasuk in Tehillim. Yoina Selim means the muted Yoina. His brother was killed by the Nazis. He can't say the Torah. So he printed all the brother who survived the war, printed the letters in learning that his brother sent him. So the two most outstanding letters in that little sefer are about Balchov Kona Mashkin. He has this long arichas that he heard from Rav Baruch Ber. But he's the one, he learned by Rav Elva Lesolovejik also. So a lot of the notes that they printed years ago, they keep on reprinting them. A lot of the notes from Rav Elva Lesolovejik Shurim in Europe says, Nichtav Ayde Yud Kuf, that's Yoni Karpelov. So usually, the Rambam says, usually there's no Shem L'chosim HaMetaltalim, but if the government, if the Goyish government demands that you have to pay taxes, and they declare that we have the right to confiscate your karka, we have the right to confiscate your Metaltalim, I feel a Saira de Kada, even the barley that's sitting in a kad, even sitting in a container, in a pitcher, is also Mishtab de Lekaraga. There is a Shem L'chosim HaMetaltalim. The same thing Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, there's a Gemara in Croesus, I think, that by Hegdish, if someone pledged to give money to Hegdish, so that Echosim, all the assets of the Baal HaNeder, become Meshubit to the Hegdish. So even the Metaltalim also, usually there's no Shem Echosim HaMetaltalim, but by Hegdish there is, and Madin and Machusa there is. So he said, because why is Metaltalim, why did the Rambam say, we said the Rashba disagrees with that Rambam. The Rashba says that the difference between Karka and Metaltalim is only made the Rabbanon. On the level of the Raisa, if you all Shibuta the Raisa, there's even Shim Nechosim HaMetaltalim. Minat Torah. It's only made the Rabbanon that they canceled it. If you all Shibuta love the Raisa, so it's even a Karka is a love the Raisa. There's no Chilik on the level of the Raisa between Karka and Metaltalim. The Chilik is only made the Rabbanon. Chilik is only with the Rabbanon. The Rambam holds not so that the Chilik exists on the level of the Raisa. It doesn't make sense that Metaltalim should be tachas Shibur HaMalva Dvar Torah. The whole idea of Shibur Nechosim means that the Malva is more secure of collecting the debt, but if it's Metaltalim, Yochel HaVrichem, Yochel HaLimam, he can hide it and he can destroy it. He can send it to another city. It's portable, it's movable. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. There seem to be from Gemara is two exceptions to the rule. That the Rishi ben Chosim HaMetal. One is when it's Meshubit to the government, because the government will come, they'll send the tax collectors, they'll take everything away. So the Zivin Shi ben Chosim on the Metaltalim. And number two is Hegdish. You can't hide from Hegdish. Hegdish has Shi ben Chosim HaMetaltalim also. So that's what Rabbi Shua ben Levi said. Rabbi Shua says like that. That it doesn't make it not like the Gemara said, Hanimili le Taska, because Taska is a real estate tax. Ava le Kraga is a head tax. Loi, why? Because Kraga karkav de Gabri Monarch, that's a head tax. Only the real estate tax. The real estate tax, the government has a right to, if you don't pay the real estate tax, government has a right to declare that they have the right to sell your real estate to someone else if you'll commit yourself that you will pay the taxes. The real owner now is not paying tax, so the government has a right to sell your karka. They have a right to do whatever they feel is necessary in order to get the tax money. So that's what Rav Huna Beir Rabbi Shua says. Afilu sari dekata mishtap de lekraga. There is a shim nechosim. There is a shim nechosim even on metaltalim. With respect to kraga. Kraga is head tax. So the government does have the right to sell karka. They even have a right to sell metaltalim. Okay. Amar Avashi Amalei Huna Bar Nosin Kasha Bar Meimer. A Meimer had a kasha. If the government has the right to confiscate both karka and metaltalim from the people who are not paying their taxes, im kein frek di gemara, im kein bitalta yerushas beno hapchor, havel eroi, ena pchonota beroi keba muchsak. What's the din? The two dinim in Yerusha, where you don't get beroi. What's an example of roi? Let's say Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv. So let's say, for argument's sake, when Yitzchak Avinu dies, Avram Avinu is still alive. Then after Yitzchak, that's not what happened. But let's imagine like that. So after Yitzchak dies, he has two sons, Yaakov and Esav. So let's say for argument's sake, they were twins and Esav was born first. But let's treat it as if Yaakov is the Bechor. Nicer. So let's make believe Yaakov is the Bechor, so he's entitled to Pishnayim. And Esav gets a Chelek HaPshitos. So after Yitzchak dies, then Avram Avinu dies. So Yitzchak Yarshin's Bekever, the millions that Avram Avinu was a multimillionaire. So Yankov is not entitled to Pishnayim in that. Because at the time that Yitzchak died, Yaakov was a Pchor of Yitzchak. So at the time of Yitzchak's death, he didn't own that karka yet. He only got it after Yitzchak died. Then Yitzchak got it bekever. But while Yitzchak was alive, he didn't have ownership of this extra karka. So that's called ro'ui. That's one din. That the poor doesn't get pishnayim b'roi kim amruchsuk. What's the other din? Who else doesn't get b'roi kim amruchsuk? And about Yerushas Ishta b'roi kim amruchsuk. Let's say the couple is married and the wife dies. So whatever assets the wife has at the time of her death, the husband takes over. Let's say the father-in-law dies after the wife died. Father-in-law dies after the guy's wife died. After his wife dies, he's not related to the wife anymore. There's no wife anymore. So what do you mean he yarshins the wife? It's his former wife. It's his ex-wife. Let's say a man divorced his wife, and after he divorces her, then her father dies and she gets a big Yerusha, and then she dies. The husband doesn't get it. He's the former husband. So just like if he would divorce his wife, he doesn't get the Yerusha. So if the wife dies, he also doesn't get the Yerusha. So if the wife dies first, and then the father-in-law dies, and he had no sons, he only had daughters, and the wife gets a big chunk of the Yerusha, the whole Yerusha, she's the only daughter, so then the husband doesn't get that. Because at the moment of death of the wife, she didn't have those assets. That's the din. And about Yerusha Sishta Beroi Kibam Muchzak. And a Pchonotol Pishnayim Beroi Kibam Muchzak. So this is an interesting Gemara. The Tosis points out, the top Tosis in Cain. Tosis points out, the government has a right to confiscate. If you don't pay taxes, the government has a right to confiscate the karka. The government has, the Bezdin has a right. Let's say a person dies and he didn't pay halvois. Tosis asks that kash. Let's say a person dies and the poor wants to get Pishnayim. But the father owed a lot of money to other people. So they're going to say, because the father owed money, so the karka that the father had is called ra'ui, it's not called muhsak. No, it's called muhsak. So why did the Gemara consider it all of a sudden over here, Roy? So it tells you to distinguish it. If you owe money to the government has a right to take away your property without asking any question. The IRS can take it away. They keep on advertising on the radio. A few times a day, they'll say that. IRS, they can take away all of your money. So if you don't want to take it away, call up this law firm and we'll know how to fix all the back taxes that you never paid. They keep on warning about that. IRS can be very strict with you. They can confiscate everything. So that's what the Gemara says. Since the government has the right to confiscate everything, so there was one opinion that it doesn't make a difference whether it's Taska or Kraga. I feel a kada this ayivim metaltlim. There's going to be a shiva nochas. So then the Gemara says, "Im kein, the government has a right to take away. So everything is in muksak for the government. If the one who died owed money to someone else, he can't collect the money. He has to go to Bezdin. They have to have an adrachta. They have to have a shtar tirfo. It's a whole long story. But if you owe money to the government doesn't ask him. The IRS has a right to take away." So that karka should be considered roy. So the b'choy should never get pishnaim b'royke ma'muchsok. You'll undo every government charges tax. So if the father who died hasn't yet paid taxes for this year, so all the karka that he holds, that he had at the time of death, is considered as if it was muchsok by the IRS. So the b'choy should never get pishnaim. So Gemara answers, the answer is, if the father died after he paid the taxes for this year, if he didn't pay the taxes yet for this year, since the din of machus is that the government has the right to take it away and auction it off to the highest bidder, the karka, so that karka is not considered muchzak to the father. But the only time the Torah's din would apply that the b'chor is entitled to pishnaim and abal yerush es ishto only be muchzak, not be roi. Also, only be muchzak and not be roi. So that'll be, when is it called Mursak? If the father did pay the taxes already for this year, but if he didn't pay the taxes, it'll be Roy, and the Pchor will not get Pishnaim. The Baal will not Yarshim. Okay, we'll leave that tomorrow. We'll continue in the Gemara till the Mishnah. Try to go back.